podcast is the real deal.
Y'all, what's good? What's good? What's good? It's your boy B Barnes. We are back with another episode of the Gentleman's Guide podcast. Drew's back again.
Yep.
Seti back again.
What's happening? What's happening?
We right back where we were before. Well, we gonna jump right into it, man. The topic of today is women who are dominant. How does it affect the male ego? That's the overall topic today.
Right.
But before we get there, of course, we know you got to do the hot takes, right? Hot takes. So I know this went viral, or you know the situation went viral maybe a month or so ago, month or two ago. Girl got a guy cigar for the first date. And from what I saw, from my perspective, a lot of people, majority of women were like all up in arms. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, why is that such a bad thing? And obviously it's two sides on the argument. Like, of course there were men and women who didn't see anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why is this such a polarizing thing? What's the big deal? What are your thoughts?
I don't see anything wrong with it, man. I think it's a different type of, people are not used to it.
Yeah.
I don't see nothing wrong with it. It's similar to symbolic of a man giving flowers on the first date.
Right. And I think it's like when a woman on either side, men and women, because men and women have subscribed to a lot of these traditional norms.
Yep.
So when somebody breaks outside of that box that we've been kind of subject to for generations, it's like you're like shifting somebody's worldview. Therefore, like they don't understand it. Therefore, yeah. It's bad.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I like I said, man, we're living in an age where you know traditional norms are just going out the window.
Yeah.
Whatever. If it works for you, if it works for you know your lifestyle, your the person that you're dealing with, like why should it matter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much agree.
Is that you?
Yeah, I don't see no big deal.
Yeah, I don't see what the big deal is.
If you bring in something to the table like that, man, it might make it'll make a man look at you like a whole lot differently. And I'm not saying you have to do that on a date, but if you just do something like that and to that effect, it's like an icebreaker.
Right.
Yeah. Like an icebreaker. Like
you push your best foot forward.
Right.
I'm assuming. Maybe it was like a first date.
That's how I understood it to be. It was a first date. Like they, you know, they had had conversation and somehow she knew that he liked cigars.
Yeah, I think
and the fact that she didn't spend when I watched her reactions, like she didn't spend any money. She apparently her father is a big cigar guy, yeah. So she went to her dad, got something, wrapped it up, and made it look nice. But she ain't spend no money. I was like, yeah. You ain't spend no money.
That's dope.
And you set a good impression. Hey man, do what you gotta do.
And the reason this even came up because when we put the question out on social media a couple weeks ago, last episode,
yeah,
one of my followers actually responded. She asked, what were our thoughts as opposed to that topic?
Mm-hmm.
And she followed up with that saying she had a date coming up and you know she was thinking about you know giving a gift. I didn't go into detail about exactly what gift she was thinking about giving, but she just wanted our opinion on it. So
shout
out to the follower
that
sent that. You know, you got our opinion on it. If it works for you, man, do your thing.
And going back to what you were talking about in when guys, the traditional route when guys will bring flowers on a first date, and this literally seems like the same thing.
Yeah,
it's just flipped, and the woman's doing something that's thoughtful. And so many times I've heard it's the thought that counts. It's not so much the actual gift,
right?
You know, it's the thought behind the gift.
And to you know circle back what you were just saying, you know, about that scenario where the young lady bought a cigar. She knew that the gentleman she was going on a date with was into cigars,
right?
Right.
So
it's a thoughtful gesture.
Thing. Yeah. And so from the very beginning, she's putting, hey, I listen. You know,
yeah,
I knew you was into this. You know, I wanted to present this to you.
Yeah.
You know, for that. You know, so immediately I'm all automatically thinking, wow, okay. You listen to me.
Yeah, you listen.
You listen to me.
And you acted on it.
So now, and on the flip side, as a man, I'm gonna take that more serious now. Even if this is just a first date,
I'm gonna look at you different.
Look at you really different.
Yeah.
So it that can in the long run help the relationship out and for the the man, you know, take her a lot more serious from the very beginning rather than dragging this out on where you're 6 months down the road and you're like, well, what are we doing? Where there's no confusion about what we're doing because you made it clear exactly what it was that you were doing. And now I'm able to, you know, be more assertive, which goes back to, and we can, you know, kind of tie this into a hot topic from one of the questions that that we received was men dating with purpose.
Okay.
So now with that, you know, now I'm dating with a purpose and with for long term, you know.
That's what I was, that was my next question.
Long term.
Okay, purpose to do what?
To do long term, you know, marriage, kids, boom, because now you've come to the table. You've already put your cards on the table.
Yeah.
Now, you know, boom. I know where your head is at, you know, and now we can, you know, progress into something a little bit more deeper rather than, you know, being, I guess, you know, not knowing, you know, where this relationship is going.
And honestly, when you do something, let's say, like, obviously every relationship doesn't work out. Let's say this particular relationship worked out and it went the distance, you know, love story, whatever, love, marriage, kids, whatever. And they got to a certain point. When you look back, things like this sets a precedent going forward. You know what I'm saying? So you're not so much reliant on going back to these big gestures. Like, obviously, there's nothing wrong with those.
Right.
But when you center the foundation of what you're, at least what you're trying to build around material things and not so much the thought behind the material thing, big or small. When you center your love and your foundation around that, it's, you know, it's not, to me, that's not a strong foundation in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Because you can be let down from material things.
But the thoughts,
the thoughtful things,
you can always do thoughtful things. Now, over time for me, it was something that I had to learn because you know how they say childhood lasts forever. So like when we were growing up, we didn't really see like the thoughtful gestures.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't really see that on a day to day. So I go out of my way to like make sure I compliment, you know, my wife around my my sons because I know I'm grooming them for the future.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm grooming them to speak positivity to their partner in a way that makes them happier, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
And so, you know, moving into the second hot topic, how do you date with purpose?
I think Drew mentioned that a couple times before, is like being clear with your intentions.
With your intentions.
Yeah.
Kind of, I guess, having those conversations at the beginning.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Setting a precedent.
Those uncomfortable conversations in some instances. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, being up front for the most part.
Yep.
I think helps. Communicating effectively. I think I said that number
of times. It all goes back to it. And all that stuff sounds so cliche, bro. But, like, it really is. You know how Lauryn Hill said it could all be so simple.
Yeah.
But we, you know, most of us, we rather make it hard. It's like, yo, if you practice, because to me it's like, yeah, you should, people always say, yeah, you need to be a better communicator, you need to be upfront, you need to, it's like you can't just overnight make up your mind and do this stuff. It takes time.
You gotta practice.
And practice. Let's say I open my business as a medical doctor,
right?
This is my practice.
Yeah,
this is something that science is ever changing, things are always moving and shaking, so it's like this is something that I'm practicing every day to get better at. Now obviously some things are, you're not going to be as good, and over time you get better over time, but you just got to pray. One of our dear friends, I'm going to call a dear friend of the podcast now.
Well, hey, my name is Imani Surratt. I am from the little bitty town of Bun. I am 33 years old. I live in Charlotte. I am, oh gosh, the quick and dirty. I've been married for almost 6 years to my husband, Chris. We have 3 kids. I work professionally as a design manager for a construction company / real estate developer. I'm a pretty busy person. I stay pretty low key, and
fire.
I'm a fan of the show, as you guys said.
appreciate you.
Yeah. So just getting back to the main topic of the day is women who are dominant and how it affects the male ego. And under that, we had a few questions, and you were so gracious enough to send in, you know, your nice, beautiful, detailed answers. So we appreciate you taking the time. so just for the people out there, the first question was, define dominance, or what does it mean to be dominant? And if you could just give your initial thoughts.
So when I first saw that question, when it was first posed to me, I immediately thought about like, oh, well, first off, most people, in my opinion, confuse dominance and independence, right? Mm-hmm. Like most people think that if you're dominant, you're like overly independent, and that if you're independent, you obviously must be dominant. And those can be completely opposite definitions. So to me, when I think of dominance, I think of being in control. Okay. Not necessarily domineering. Like domineering is kind of like the verb to me of dominant, but to be dominant is to be in control of your surroundings, of your circumstances. And even though there's very few things that are in your actual control, it's even more so having confidence in your abilities to express yourself, having confidence in what it is you perceive as happening around you, being a strong opinion, being strong-minded, being strong-willed, mm-hmm. and not being easily intimidated by the opinions, thoughts, and business of others, really. Just completely being willing to stand out front and catch all the wind if other people are standing behind you. Yeah, I threw in a random track.
Nah, that's dope. That's dope. That's dope. So being can being a dominant woman be overbearing for a man? How do you see that in a relationship?
Absolutely. Like, if you're going to be dominant, I think you also have to be humble as well, because just because you're dominant, one, doesn't mean that you're necessarily the leader in any given situation. Like, I have a very dominant personality. It's not easy for me to be dominated in most areas of my life, but that also does not necessarily mean that I'm automatically a leader in every situation I'm in. So it's, if you're dominant, you also have to know when to turn that up, when to turn that down, when it's Absolutely. Appropriate to lead, and when it's appropriate Yes. to follow.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very important piece, because in terms of being a leader, right? Obviously, you have to have some level of dominance, but in terms of being a leader, you have to also know how to follow. We've heard this, you know, we know this in sports
Several times,
and
yeah.
all different aspects of life, but definitely got to learn how to know when to turn it off and turn it on. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, like especially for women, because yeah. dominance isn't a trait that's celebrated in women. You know, everybody talks about how they love a dominant, strong woman, but you love us until you have to deal with us.
Yeah,
facts.
And, you know, it's hard to tell a dominant woman anything. Like, if you feel strongly about something and then a dominant woman feels strongly about it, like, she's not going to be pressed or worried about what you think about something. It's like, oh, that's cute, but this is what I think, though.
Right, right.
And, yeah, that's not always the easiest thing to deal with and to be on the other end of.
Yeah, I got you.
So Brandon brought up a good point that about Jill Scott.
I don't know if you saw that interview. She was on the Breakfast Club probably a few years ago, and the topic of dating came up, and she said, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but she was like, if you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
If you can tell me what to do, mm-hmm. then you can tell me what to do. But if you can't tell me what to do, you can't tell me what to do.
Damn. Does that make sense? I want to tweet that, but it ain't going to sound the same.
And you can kind of fill in the blanks, but how I interpret that is, if I don't respect you as a man and as a leader, right? Even though I know yeah. I'm a leader in my own right as a woman, if I don't respect you as a leader, then this ain't going to work. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So I think
it's true.
I think from a male's perspective, when you're dealing with a dominant woman or you're dating a dominant woman, they've had to be dominant in so many different aspects of life, you know, their mm-hmm. career, you know, their personal life outside of their relationship. So, mm-hmm. so dating them, they don't want to have to be dominant in the relationship. Right. Yeah. So you have to bring some type of reassurance to her to let her know that, hey, okay, I can take this dominant cape off for a second and actually submit and mm-hmm. be submissive to you as a man, but don't get it twisted. I still have my voice. I still have my opinion.
Exactly.
But I don't want to have to always be that dominant individual in the relationship, because I have to do it every time, everywhere else.
Because when you think about, just take it a step, there's levels to this, right? So when you look at, okay, you're talking about men and women, but we black women and we black men.
And I'm blacker than black and I'm black, y'all.
Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you go out into the world and you putting on this mask, you putting on this cape, and you trying to be the best at whatever you're doing because you feel like you got the weight of the whole black race on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. When you come home, you gotta let that load off, bro. And so when you're dealing with your partner, you know what I'm saying? It's important to recognize, okay, if it's up to her to recognize, sometimes I shouldn't have to say if I'm having a bad day.
Yeah.
You can sense it, body language, how short I may be, I might be being at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a push and tug you know what I'm saying?
Reading and knowing your partner.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, there's another aspect of like dominant women that I think a lot of people don't think about. Like dominant women, we want to be answered, you know, like we don't want to treat our partners like a mystery,
mm-hmm.
you know, like we're dominant. We are strong in our own rights. But at the same time, it's like, hey, I'm going to expect you to be on my level, you know, and it's interesting because my husband and I, we have that kind of vibe where he's also a very dominant person. And so there is, you know, if we lock horns, it's just like, it's dysfunctional if we are at odds, even over the slightest thing.
Yeah.
But when we're in sync, it's not even so much of a support thing. We really just walk in step. We're like those Call of Duty partners going through a level, you know?
Uh-huh. Come on now.
And,
yeah.
And like, but like, think about it. Like, think about it when you play Call of Duty. Like, you expect your partner to talk to you. Like, you want to know what is going on. Like, hey, what is threatening you? What does the situation look like over where you're at?
I got your six.
Okay, this is what I'm dealing with over here. I got your six. Uh-huh. You got mine. All right, cool. I'm going to progress over here. Can you follow? Can you meet me there? And vice versa. Like,
hey,
that's really, I think, what a dominant woman's looking for.
I just want to drop a bomb because you mentioned Call of Duty and I don't hear women talk about video games Call of Duty like that. So that deserves a bomb. You know what I'm saying? But I agree with everything you just said. So yeah, I think we kind of like define what dominant is, what, you know, being independent is, right? Like that was like kind of the next question, but we kind of touched on it already. I would say, I guess we can move to the next question, which is, you know, why do you think men are threatened? Why do you think men are threatened by women's independence?
Okay, so I have a kind of strong opinion about
some men.
Like, all right, so I got a strong opinion about this, and I'm really curious what y'all think about it. So I think it has a lot to do with how you're raised. And it's like we have in the past, and I think our generation, us being parents now, like we're trying to change that for our kids' generation.
Yeah.
But most of us were raised under very like patriarchal gender norms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so like dominance is encouraged in boys. It's independence and providing and being the man, and what it meant to be a man was very much taught to boys. But for girls, like, I just remember sometimes not feeling authenticated in the way I was raised. And I think a lot of women can probably relate to that. Like, there's certain parts of girl personalities that get discouraged. You know, if you're a girl that would rather, when you're a little girl, climb trees and wear pants and play with G.I. Joes and building blocks.
Yeah.
You're kind of encouraged instead to do something a little bit different. Like, never forget like how natural it was growing up to be just automatically given dolls and pink things and things with bows and frills. And then as soon as my little brother came, like I was so excited when I finally got a little brother because it meant I got to play with Legos and like, you know, and Hot Wheels and stuff and train sets. And so, yeah, I think like when those boys become men and those girls become women, there's a lot of men out here who are specifically after women who fit what they've been taught to want. And there's a lot of women that can fall in that role, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that if that is your authentic self.
Right.
But if you're the type of woman who's just like, yeah, but you know, I'm feminine, yes, but I'm not, you know, and I'm soft around, you know, some spots, but I'm pretty damn strong too. And I don't really need you. I want you, but I don't need you. Like I'm not a damsel in distress.
Yeah. I think
I got my own and I just want to augment you. Like that's that intimidates some men.
Yeah.
Like if you're not confident in your own stuff, like I think it takes a strong man who is real confident in his stuff. He's able to be independent, but he's also able to like provide for himself financially, emotionally, mentally. You know, a man who is whole and confident isn't intimidated by a woman who is the same.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
You spoke a lot of shit right there, man.
Yeah, that was
you spoke a lot of shit there, yeah, man.
That motherfucker spitting, boy. Spitting.
Oh, man. Y'all gotta think that oat milk latte that I had at work.
Come on now.
I was on it today.
What you got? What you got to say?
So for a man that has a dominant woman, when it comes to, if you're, let's say you're in a relationship or you're dating someone and they have those qualities of being independent and being dominant, but they also struggle with a dominant woman. How do you fix the relationship between the two?
Who? I think it's important for people to be heard. I'd say if my husband and I ever have an issue, it almost always comes down to a communication breakdown where we're both dominant, but we also have very different personalities. Like, he's the strong and silent type. He's a natural born leader. He's got swag, but he doesn't have to say much with it. Like, he's a man of few words, but he commands every situation and space he's in. And me, I'm the opposite. I'm not the strong and silent type. I have a lot to say all the time about pretty much everything. And if I transition from dominant to domineering, his response to that is to disengage, because he's not confrontational.
Yeah.
So if I get he's just like, all right, cool, bye. he'll physically be there, but he's like completely like, I'm not going to engage you, which will just enrage me, which will just make him disengage more. So we thrive when we come at each other from a place of mutual respect and a mutual desire to communicate, not just talk at or to each other, but really come to an understanding of each other's perspectives.
Yeah, I just posted that reel, and you actually commented on it, I'm pretty sure, about the lady she was talking about. You know, she mentioned, asked her husband, why don't you just listen to me?
Right. Yeah, I saw that.
The overall point was good. Yeah, it was very good. I was like, the overall point was, you know, as a partner, you shouldn't be a parent. You should be a partner.
Or you should just expect what I do all the time. I ain't gonna listen. Why should I change now?
So I'm joking. To go back to like the original question, like, why are men so intimidated? It's because they're not used to a woman really speaking her mind.
No. Yes.
And outside of a woman speaking her mind, actually bringing facts about
being
right about what it is that she's speaking.
Yeah.
So, you know, for so long, and go back to what Imani was saying, we've grown up and seen a generation where this is what I say, this is how it's going to go. And whether it's right or wrong from a man's perspective and expecting a woman to follow. Now we're in a generation where it's like women are actually, one, seeing what you're saying and either challenging it or seeing if it's correct and if it follows what they actually see and believe in. Two, you know, having their own opinions about what it is that y'all are discussing. This isn't something, this is a discussion between the two of us, and it's not really
a dictatorship.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So I think as we get older and a new generation starts to come in, and these women that are leading, you know, alongside of, that's the thing, alongside these men.
Right.
That we're going to see, we may not see it completely in our generation. I think this is just the beginning of it. But I think as generations, when we're no longer here, it's really going to be a more women-driven world. And for Imani, for you to be in the industry in which you're in, I know you don't see a lot of women.
Yeah, construction.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
You don't see a lot of women.
Yeah.
When you sit at that table, you know, and I can only imagine the looks and perceptions.
Oh yeah,
that
preconceived notions
that you receive prior to you even opening your mouth, and then the moment you open your mouth, I can see a completely different reaction. But not still. Let me ask you this: how long did it take for you to actually grab your? Because I know you didn't wait for people to give your respect. Mm-hmm. How long did it take for you to grab your respect in your industry as a dominant woman, and for it to be heard and valued
as a black woman,
as a black dominant woman?
Yeah.
I think for me, like, my dominance my dominant like attitude is it's at different levels and different aspects of my life. It took me a really long time to be confident in my career. I always kind of felt like I always struggled with imposter syndrome. Like, do I really deserve to be here?
And that's all of us, but, right? That's
all, yeah, it's all of us. But then there was one day I woke up and I was like, I'm really no different than anyone else in this room. Mm-hmm. I'm just one of the only ones willing to admit that I don't know all the things, but I'm trying to learn and I'm here to work hard, you know? For me, it's more so stepping into every room and feeling like I belong in it. That's the biggest hurdle, right? That's the biggest hurdle. Once you start stepping into every room as if like this is just another room and I'm walking in it.
Listen, I will say this. I hate to cut you off, but I want to say this because
you're good.
I talk to Gab about this all the time. I was like, Gab, I said, everybody's faking it to some degree. Mm-hmm. We all putting on, bro. We're all putting on. I was like, if you just fake it, and it sounds so stupid sometimes, but when you fake it till you make it, when you, I like to play it in my mind as, yo, if a person in this position, if I were this playing this role, what would that, like, how would that character act in this situation? So I'm like, when I'm talking to clinical research sites and I'm talking to these different people, doctors and whatnot, I know the jargon, you know what I'm saying? Did I go to medical school? No, hell I did not. You know what I'm saying? But you play the role. You know what I'm saying? Because hey, at the end of the day, I'm trying to get this money.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Like, you know why I'm here. you know why I'm here.
Exactly.
Thank you. And like, it's just a different approach to how you enter a room. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that was the big thing. And 'cause you're right. Everyone is faking it to a degree. Like you fake it until you're not faking it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I used to every day pulling up to the job site, I would have to, when I got 30 minutes out from the site, I would immediately change it to Beyonce's Homecoming Live album.
Come on now.
I'm serious. And like, I blasted the rest of the way to work. So that when I walked in, I was really on my black woman shit. Right.
Yeah.
And even going into the corporate office, every time I walk in with my AirPods in, I'm listening to Black Parade by Beyonce. I'm getting all of my blackness in because I'm about to be like a chocolate drop in a glass of milk. Yes. And that's okay.
Because what she said,
because I'm coming in armor.
You won't break my soul.
You won't break my soul. Not today. To the left. No.
For sure.
So yeah. And then, but then today for work, I realized I didn't walk in with my AirPods in and I didn't feel no different. I was like, have I made it?
It's embedded.
Exactly. Like, I haven't made it. I'm not where I want to be entirely. I still have a lot of growing and learning, but your girl's feeling real comfortable, comfortable in her own skin and showing up exactly as who I am.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
That's a beautiful thing. Moving on to this next question, kind of just to sum everything up, being that women are more independent, than, you know, past generations, how does the modern man change his approach? And just before you answer this, I don't know if y'all remember this, I did an episode like on the first, when I first started the Gentleman's Guide, called Change Your Approach. And shout out to my girl Renee. She
remember that.
Yeah, because we initially had a disagreement because when she, and Amani, you mentioned it earlier, talking about like women don't need men anymore,
right?
And that was the first time I ever heard somebody say that. So as I took it as a husband and a father, I'm like, nigga, of course you need black. You need us. You need us as fathers and husbands. But they were coming at that point in time, Renee was coming from the perspective of, from a dating perspective and like, or a financial or social perspective. It was like, yo,
I don't need y'all.
We don't need y'all in the same way we needed you before. You know,
I want you.
We want you. We have a choice now.
That's better.
Yeah. And that's even
better. I want you to need me. I want you to want me.
Exactly. Right.
Come on. Exactly.
But you know, also looks at like, what do you think the purpose of a woman is?
Right.
I think step one, a man has to really confront that within himself. That's just like a woman has to confront that within herself. Like, what is it that you think your woman's purpose is in this life? Yeah. Is she there just to bear your children? Is she there to be your helpmate? Is she there to be your motivator and your partner? Those are three very different women. And the person you marry or partner yourself with, she can mess around and have to play all three of those different parts at different times of y'all's marriage. Like, it's real fluid. And I mean, it, life changes. Like, Chris and I are like, are we really almost 8 years in? Shit. Yeah. We in this thing, right? And the person that he married is a very different woman than who I am now. I look back on that little girl. I'm like, sis, you had no idea. Three kids will break you down, man. It's a lot. It's zone defense all the time. All the time. Two, three.
You got to hit that high post.
And they don't ever stop running plays, man. You just adjust him. Hey, what?
That's real.
That's real right there. That's dope.
God, you know? So, I mean, it just, what do you find, you know, as for a woman, like, if you, especially if you're a dominant woman, like, what role is it that you think a man is supposed to fulfill in your life? Mm-hmm. And then, like, I my hope is that people don't get turned off by dominant women. Like, don't immediately think that we're bitchy or we're loud mouths or like, oh, she's difficult because she's got opinions. Like, you want your partner to have opinions. Everybody Otherwise, you're going to get real bored having to speak and think for someone all the time.
Yeah. I don't want to have to do that all the time.
That's too much pressure.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure. Honestly, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Enough for me to deal with my own
My own thoughts and opinions.
I ain't trying to together,
guys. And like dominant women, we saw what our great-grandmothers, grandmothers, and some of our mothers had to do, how they had to do it all. Mm-hmm. We ain't on that no more.
Doing that,
like, no, somebody else is going to sweep this damn floor because mama went to work today.
Hey, like, that's what it is.
Y'all can fold laundry too. Mm-hmm. And I'm not cooking dinner. Let's DoorDash this. No.
And I think that's something that Brandon touched on a little earlier. Uh-huh. We may not have been on the air, but we was just saying gender roles. I don't believe in those.
Yeah,
I
believe in roles and within one's household.
One household,
and they are delegated upon, you know, what works for y'all, right?
Because if I do laundry, it might smell a little bit better than you know.
I know how to proportion.
Now when it comes to folding these clothes, now I don't want to fold them, but I'm gonna wash them.
That's
and I know how to wash them.
I'm a wonderful clothes washer, but my husband can fold a load of laundry faster than I can even set myself up to do it.
Shout out to him for that, man.
Yeah, that's he get a bomb for that.
I can't
stand folding clothes.
I swear to God, I live out the basket for about 2 weeks. Look,
so could I. Like, we could be a family that lives exclusively out of hampers, and I would be fine with that. I would just shove them in the closet when people come over so they don't think we're heathens.
I don't claim to be bougie, but that's the one thing I would pay for.
Yeah.
I would pay for somebody to come to my house and fold my clothes. You know what I'm saying? Playing J. Cole in the background.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I'll cook you a meal. Like, how much do you want? I will pay somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
Shout out to anybody listening who has that service. You could make a killing.
Hey, we need to find some black businesses that clean and fold and laundry.
Yeah. Let's get them out here, man.
We need
some black businesses out here, man.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm not a fan of gender roles, and I think that's something that we're breaking as well, man. Yeah. You know, men are doing a lot more cooking. Men are doing they're more domesticated.
Yeah.
And they're actually being more present, you know, in kids' life rather than being just a financial figure.
Yeah.
And providing for the household. Mm-hmm. And women are, you know, able to just be on construction sites and be engineers.
Right.
And cut the grass and you know different things like that, and it's working. You know, you look at it and it's more of a norm than a taboo thing where, you know, why are you in the kitchen cooking? Mm-hmm. And one thing that I had a conversation with my dad about when a couple of years back, my brother was having his son, and we was talking about a baby shower. Mm-hmm. And my dad was like, you know, we don't do baby showers.
I'm from the old school. We don't do that.
We don't do baby showers. I said, Dad, you know, I broke it down to him, and I was just like, you know, it's a different era now, man. You know, it's not about, you know, that being for only for women,
mm-hmm.
But it's about being there present.
Yeah,
you know, being involved in which is now will be your grandchild. So that mentality of, you know, we don't do that, we don't do this, is you're gonna have to get rid of that a little bit.
Yeah.
So he was open to it, you know, and you know, you're dealing with a, you know, OG, you know, shout out to my dog, man. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, at first it's not something that he can see himself doing, but I think he was more open to it because of years of being programmed that men don't do this, mm-hmm. women do that, right, or. Yeah. Women can't do this. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that they didn't. They that women cannot do X, Y, and Z. But they're showing that not only can they do it, they're fully capable of doing it and can do it at a very high level.
Yeah, yeah, the most time.
And I always say, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And I always heard, I heard Steve Harvey say, and he said a lot of stuff that I don't agree with a lot of times, but yeah, this particular thing he was talking about, why does a woman want a partner or need a partner? It's like, yo, it's cool that to know how to change the tire or to do these things, mm-hmm, but yeah, you don't have to when you got a man, and vice versa. But basically, what I'm trying to say is, you know, you don't have to do everything all the time.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You know, it's you figure it out.
Give
it together.
Share the load.
Yeah, share the load. Yeah.
Share the load. Like, and it's also to say, like, men like pretty things too. Like, yeah, I'll ask y'all this: how would y'all feel if your wives like came in with a bouquet of like calla lilies, a box of cigars, and hell, I don't know, something else that y'all like, you know, and was just like, babe, I just wanted to make you feel special today, and handed you your flowers and your box of cigars and just got you something.
Hey,
like,
I'm gonna put it in the vase. I'm gonna put it in their face.
You know what? You open my worldview, because I never thought about receiving flowers before as a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that, honestly.
Like, bet you would freaking love it.
I probably would.
It's a dope gesture. It really is a dope gesture, man. Yeah.
It's always a thought. You know what I'm saying? That means the most anyway.
Yeah,
because it's not about the flowers. Right. It's about the fact that, like, somebody saw something beautiful and thought, wow, I think my partner would like this too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how we view getting flowers from a man. It's like, oh, he was thinking about me. So,
you know, like, the episode of Martin. When Gina got him that statue with a butt.
Just to open it up, man. And you know, for those out there that are, you know, just dominant women, you know, for all the dominant women out there, man, I really want to say, you know, keep doing your thing, man. Don't let anybody dim your light. Don't let men that may not know how to deal with you, show you that you can't be dealt with. There's somebody out there that can and is able to fully
and
you
is
know,
willing
handle, and willing yeah. it, willing to yeah. you know match
your dominance. Energy.
Yeah, yeah, match your yeah. dominance. So you know, definitely say to anybody out there, and that goes for the men. Hey, you know, you find your dominant women. Don't be intimidated by it either, man. You know, she may come across as though she can't. You know, you can't get through to her, but It's a reason why you're attracted to her. It's a reason why she even gave you a chance. You know, so, you know, go after it and, you know, do your thing, man.
Hey, man, she going to upgrade you, bro.
Absolutely.
She's going to upgrade you.
Yeah. Like, upgrade you for real, for real.
For sure.
That's facts.
Yeah. All day.
And it's I know a lot of dominant men that want a dominant woman. And I know a lot of dominant women that just looking for like somebody to like not be intimidated by them. You know? Yeah.
On the flip side, I will say, we talk about toxic masculinity. There is such thing.
It's toxic femininity.
Femininity. That's what people don't talk about.
Yeah, we talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Everybody put it all on the men. It goes both ways, bro. Like,
it goes both.
So define a toxic woman.
I feel like. Woo. Off the cuff, just shooting off the hip, I would say the first thing that comes to mind is a woman who wants to be, like, Monty, you said earlier, not, you talking about dominant, but being domineering or, you know, emasculating the man to feel like to feel less than.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Right. So I think when it comes to a dominant woman and that it's being toxic, you know, when you get in these relationships, you're I'm never going to tell a person to not be themselves. I'm never going to tell a person to do who they are and be who they are. Right. But what I will say, you know, when you're in these relationships, you know, especially if you're a dominant man, a man have to feel like a man in a relationship.
Yeah.
He has to, in order for him to give you 110% of him, he has to feel like a man. And sometimes, and I've seen it where women would strip a man of his manhood.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not allow him to be him and somewhat, you know, belittle him.
Yeah.
In that relationship. And I think that's toxic. That's extremely toxic. It where you're in front of people and you're making him look as though he's, you know, less than what he is or
listen, man, I've seen it. I've seen it.
So
I think we all seen virgins there.
Yeah,
you know.
For sure.
You know,
we all have.
The man is just kind of like a shell of himself.
Hey.
In a way.
Hey, man. Grab your balls, man.
Hey, grab your balls. Don't grab your ball. You got to take them back.
Yeah.
Cuz somebody got them in their hand.
Yeah. And squeezing real hard. like my boy Cat Williams to Damon.
I am a man. I'm a boy.
I am a boy.
Got your nuts in the vice grips.
I'm gonna say this. I think my granddad would say, the whole thing in a nutshell,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
People just have to adjust their expectations.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I heard from an old head one time. Shout out to him, Brother Steve. He said, change what you can and accept what you can't,
mm-hmm.
and know to be wise enough to know the difference. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's the name of the game, right?
I kind
of
take that with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, change what you can. Like, work on the things that you can work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you see your partner, it's something you do, your partner doesn't, you know what I'm saying, necessarily like, you don't have to change it, but figure out how to, you know what I'm saying, make things work where it doesn't affect them as much. Or whatever,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Adjust. You know what I'm saying? And then for your partner or whoever, just accept. If you can't change something, just learn how to live with it. It's give and take. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be able to.
Yeah. And I was, just to add to that, I would say, if you're doing all the adjusting,
that ain't okay.
Yeah,
that ain't okay.
It ain't no one way street, bro. Yeah, it go both ways.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And so, like, to talk the way the youths talk, because I do feel like an elder millennial at times. Like,
we are.
Oh, y'all, 33.
Hey, man,
we really are. Like, so, like, people don't talk about how being a pick me is just as toxic, mm-hmm. if you think about it, mm-hmm. you know, because you're not being your authentic right. self and you're selling something that you aren't. Like, it's false advertisement in every way.
Yep.
And I'm speaking from someone who had pick me tendencies when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Like, it was almost a fun challenge to try to be a chameleon depending on who I was going on a date with, you know? And like, it's something when you meet someone and they really encourage you to be exactly who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, I love telling the story about how I transitioned to natural hair. I was still getting relaxers when I met my husband, and it was like a few months in, and I was freaking out because I had to find a new hairstylist because I just moved to Charlotte, mm-hmm. and I needed to get another relaxer. And he looked at me, he was just like, why don't you just go natural? And I was like, oh, no, you don't want to see my hair like that. And he was like,
how do you know?
Why
you know
wouldn't I?
Come on.
If I love you. Yeah.
He's like, I love you. And I see what your roots look like. Exactly. And it's coming out of your head. I love you from your head to your toes. And I was like, oh. It still took me another year. But it took a year of him affirming, like, hey, it's okay if you want to cut these lengths. Like, it's I'm not going to look at you any differently. I would love to see the real you.
Shout out to my man,
and
Chris.
He didn't just.
Hey.
He didn't just do that about my hair. Like, it was really just about who I was. He was like, I'm not trying to change you. I just want you to figure yourself out.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
I want you to grow into who you are, mm-hmm. and vice versa, because he gave me that grace. I could turn around and say, hey, you're an entrepreneur. You go out here and do your thing.
That's
like,
dope.
You take your risk, you take your chances. I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a perk of being with someone who isn't just dominant and you're dominant, but like really being with someone that matches your energy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a submissive person can be with a dominant person, and a submissive person can be the man if that's just his personality and who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and the woman could be dominant, or you could have two submissive people together. I mean, I don't know if I'd recommend that because I don't know how y'all get anything done.
I was
going to
say the same.
You go first. No, you go first.
But, you know,
you
if you like it, I love it. You know,
whatever you like.
What do you like to do?
Whatever you like.
Y'all just walk around pleasing each other. I mean, hey, it might be sweet. I don't know. Yeah. That's not my ministry.
Yeah, I don't know what that'd be like.
Man, me neither, bro.
Yeah, I don't know that life. But, hey, it could work for some people. So, you know, it's toxic to not be yourself
mm-hmm.
out here in these streets. Like, be yourself. Find the confidence in who you are, and then try to find somebody who has that same potential in themselves.
Do you?
And then encourage them to grow it.
Uh-huh. My next question is, in terms of, we still talking about I brought up toxic femininity.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, you can, y'all can let me know if you agree or not, indifferent, whatever. I believe that masculinity and femininity, in terms of both being toxic, woman and man, if you are a toxic man or toxic masculinity or toxic femininity, you exhibit the same characteristics, just in man or woman form. What?
So you're saying a future and a... And who will be the female version of Future?
Oh gosh!
Dang, let me look. I don't even. I'm trying
to. Who is the female version of Future?
I'm trying to look at it. I'm trying to think. Dang, that's Jesus. Tough.
Mariah Carey.
Can you pick a lower bar a little lower? Because like
Mariah Carey, right?
I don't know.
You stupid.
I mean, I don't really know. I don't know enough about Mariah Carey to, like, we know about Future because we know about. At least from a surface level, as far as like how many baby mamas you got, et cetera, you know, it's a lot of a lot of levels to that.
But scenario, to answer your question, I think they do have similar traits. Mm-hmm. I think a toxic woman and a toxic man, they do have similar traits, and some of the traits, you know, some of the traits that they could be is not willing to, you know. Conform or conform may be the wrong word. Not able to
adjust.
Exactly. Yeah. Not inability to adjust.
Yeah.
Inability to see anything from a different perspective. Inability to really open up their ears,
mm-hmm.
and hear the person. And I think both of those stands firm as both man and woman.
I agree with you. I also believe, like, in terms of, you know, you say a woman's like, you know, emasculating a man, or a man is being very, I don't know the perfect word, but basically like you're basically making them feel like they're less than.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's a strong, it goes both ways in terms of a woman emasculating a man, or a man just being super like domineering and like oppressive towards this woman or whatever.
But like, I think it's important to like play into your femininity, like, and femininity is not a look. It's just like everybody has feminine energy and everyone has masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And I think dominant women, if we play into our masculine energy too much, it comes off as aggressive. Mm-hmm. It comes off as combative. And if you want to be like a soft, dominant woman, you can be, but it requires you to really lean into that feminine energy, find your inner peace and try to exude that. If you exude peace with your dominant nature, you can really change like the room, you can change the world.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Like if you're a man and you're just like all testosterone and all masculinity, that's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Yeah, like, you're overcompensating.
Nobody wants to be around that. Yeah. You're overcompensating. Yeah. Like, what are you hiding?
Yeah.
So
what,
if you
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just like, if you just turn that down just a little bit and just embrace the softness, embrace the warmth in you, embrace the maternal. I mean, I know it's weird for men to say like, wait, I'm not maternal, but like, yeah, everybody look, man, has that feminine energy at times.
I got three kids now, and I am definitely maternal in my own father, dad way. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Just being nurturing to your kids.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Steve from Stranger Things. He is so freaking maternal.
I ain't gonna lie. I rock with Stranger Things, bro.
That's my joint, man.
I ain't never watched it. I ain't watched it yet.
I ain't know that joint was dope like that. Hey, I just started watching it.
I ain't got into it.
It's dope.
All right.
Check it out, man.
It is. You would like
you
it.
You will enjoy it.
The cussing kids, man.
You like sci-fi?
Cussing kids.
A little bit. I've been on my bike.
Would you save money?
I said the cussing kids, man. That's how I describe the show. The cussing kids.
The cussing kids.
It's like 80s nostalgia. And then I think like millennials, like in the older millennials and like the ones in our specific age group,
right?
We gravitate towards it because it reminds us of our child to a degree. It reminds us because I love. I know this is like a side conversation, but I just love all the anything that's like nostalgic from the 80s and 90s. I'd naturally gravitate to.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I'm gonna have to check it out.
It's nerdy, but still like
I've been on my Viking shit lately.
Yo.
Different vibe, but it is fire too.
I've been on my Viking shit.
Vikings is such a good show.
Yeah. Vikings, Last Kingdom. Oh man.
Okay. Did you watch the last movie with the
Northmen?
The Northmen? Yeah, that movie's crazy, bro.
I did.
That is
I did go to the movies and see The Black Phone. Nah. Yeah, I heard of that.
The hell is that? Hey, bro,
it's a good movie. It was a random. It was a random
talking about.
I'm out, man.
It was a random movie, but it was a good movie, bro. For real. Go check that joint out.
Say it again. You said Black Phone.
The Black Phone, bro.
I ain't never promised this movie.
It's good. I haven't either. I just went to the movie theater and it was playing, and I was like, I'll watch that.
Just random.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That joint was good though. It was a good choice.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay.
I believe.
Whatever you say. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, bro, like I'm super maternal, bro. Like I remember it was
Machete felt some type of way when you first said that though. He was like, explain what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, man, go in a little bit more detail.
What you mean,
that,
bro? The baby sucking on your titty, bro? What you mean?
What you mean?
Nah, bro. Like it's just
you I pumping?
He got the fake
boob. Nah, I ain't that maternal, nigga. In terms of just showing affection and being there, being present in your kids' lives. And I don't, because a lot of times, at least how I've seen it, is the OGs, they'll say, yo, you when you're young, you with your mama. When you become a man,
I'm going
to show you how to be macho and instilling you all these problematic things
for sure
that my daddy told me. You know, or the world told me before, you know, in
last. Toxic.
Yeah, the toxic. You know what I'm saying?
Those generational curses.
But yep. I had a conversation with my boy TJ. Shout out to TJ. Play ball with him at State or whatever. And we were at the park, and our kids go to the same school. So every now and then we'll meet up at the park.
Mm-hmm.
Kids love each other. They're like best friends, whatever. So we saw two brothers at the park, and these brothers were there with their grandmother. We could tell it. You could just tell it was their grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Or their mama just old as hell.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But. the brothers, the way they communicated to each other, they yelled and it was so aggressive, and like it was just like, bro, this, if you're in that negative environment all the time,
that's
like
that's what come out
that's what that's it's like a to me it's like a defense mechanism. It's like, yo, that's how they communicate.
Yeah.
And they like they argue about everything, and brothers argue, but this was different.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It was like they were like at odds about everything. I was throwing a football with them. And, you know, just playing catch, and one was the receiver, one was a DB.
Mm.
You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Competition, whatever. And they were just, like, so, like, animated and, like, very aggressive. And then on the flip side, we talk about our Ian is TJ's son, and Brandon is my oldest.
Yeah.
And they are very much alike in the sense that they're very sensitive. I know I was a very sensitive kid, right? Mm-hmm. So on the flip side, I was like, I said, TJ, I said, the way we talk about Brandon and Ian, I was like, yo, I said, please understand that they're allowed to be that.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's why they have us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're allowed to be a kid.
Right, right.
Because when you don't have that, somebody filling that position, you naturally, at least this is how I look at it. You naturally gotta be very aggressive.
Yeah.
That's like you transform because the body is going to protect itself mentally and physically.
Yeah.
I'm following.
You know what I'm saying? So like as a father, as a black father, it's like, yo, it's important for you to allow your kid to be a kid.
Yeah.
Even when I see Brandon may fall on the bike, and our neighbors is two little kids. They play with all the time. They like best friends too. And Brandon falls on the bike. He's crying. One of the kids come up, other black boy come up, and they're like, he's consoling him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's to me, that's allow your kid to be a kid.
Yeah.
Allow your kids to show emotions. Allow another boy to show emotion, and that be okay.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know I kind of went off on a slightly different, but at the same time, it's like going back to a father being nurturing and being maternal and showing, letting your kids know, at least specifically your black sons know, that it's okay to be emotional and to lean into your emotions and let your body feel,
for sure.
You know, in every aspect.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my fatherhood TED talk to.
But hey, to like tag onto your TED talk in the same vein, like black mothers, we also have to, and I think it's historical trauma, because you know, trauma passes from generation to generation. It's encoded in our DNA.
Yes.
And I tell you, like, it is so natural as a black mom to be like hyper vigilant and hyper aggressive with my kids and their behaviors. Mm-hmm. Like, stop it, you know better than that. And being sharp and being like masculine with it. My husband checked me one time. He was like, Amani, you don't need to domineer the kids, especially Trey. And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, they need their mom. Mm-hmm. Like, the world is going to bust their ass enough. Yeah. Like, they got to have a soft place to land. True. He's like, you know, you can't just command them and direct them and rear them all the time. Like, sometimes you got to experience it with them. Mm. Your mom, if they can't get the softness and the love and nurturing from you, who are they going to get it from?
Yeah.
They got me, you know, they don't need you to be a rock, so to speak. They need you to be their soft place at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn it, Chris, first of all. But then I realized, like, this man's right. Like,
yeah.
Just like you're saying, how important it is for a father, a black father, to show that maternal soft, like, I got you, come here, son. Mm-hmm. I'm not just going to wait until you're a man to show you how to be one. Mm. They're showing, like, you're showing your sons how to be a man right now. It and starts, they're some of their most formative mm-hmm. years.
Starts from the womb, yep.
And vice versa. I'm showing my children how to be a black woman from mm-hmm. a very early age, where it's like, okay, mommy can be strong as heck, but she's also my soft, safe place when I need someone.
Fair
and vice fair versa, fair. I can run up and play and cuddle with my dad, and my mom might get me with a headshot with a Nerf gun. Like, it's... You know, I'm also that parent that laughs first when my kids fall. It's a really bad trait. Like, I shouldn't be that.
It's not a bad trait. It teaches your kids.
Character.
Like, they're going to be so tough. Me. And, like, Chris will be like, Imani, get... I'm like, sorry, my bad. Like, it was funny. Like, kids falling is really funny. Kinda sorry, is. But... Really is. It's so funny because they're so clumsy. Bless their hearts. Yeah.
Especially when they fall off a bike. It's hilarious.
You, oh, my gosh. You just talk about... So you laugh when Brandon falls off the bike?
Well, when I see it, it is kind of, it's very funny. I didn't see it the last time it happened, the instance I was talking about with all that, but I didn't see it. But it is funny when it happens, for sure. Because you try to tell them, they go too fast, or you're going too.
They got to learn.
You got to learn somewhere.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm all about character. I'm all about character.
You got it.
I'm going to tell you twice. Third time is on you, bro.
Hey, like, bro, that fire hot over there now.
You test it out if you want to.
Go test it.
I'll test it out.
Oh, man.
Just fall soft, baby. Fall soft. Yep.
Nah, this is definitely.
Yeah, this was fire. This was a fire conversation,
yeah,
bro.
I love it, man. Yeah. You know, shout out to Miss Imani. You want to, any last words you would like to say, Miss Imani?
Not just, you know, everybody just go out there and be your best selves, because the world is crazy right now. So be your best selves, but also take care of yourselves. Go hug someone.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't got nobody to hug, go find somebody to hug, or just say something nice to someone.
Facts.
Just love. It's all love. Facts. Just go out there and be loved and give love.
Hey, man, the world will be a whole lot of different place if people took,
mm-hmm.
that advice.
Yep. So again, sure. This is a, what you got, Drew? You got something else?
Nope. I just thought about the song, you know, the Jackson 5 Christmas song. Give love on Christmas Day.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
What? I'm a musician, bro.
His mind go all over. Yeah.
For real, happens like that.
So, I love it.
But yeah, this was a fire conversation. We really appreciate you, Imani, for chiming in, giving your perspective.
Well, thanks for having me. Y'all made me feel famous, like low-key famous for a half a second. Now I get to go back to being anonymous. I love it.
You good, man.
I mean, that's the best part, because you're making money and you ain't got to worry about being famous. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If I ever had to choose a profession, I would choose, like, a golfer, because they got all the endorsements. Yo. They got all these endorsements. But they not really fan. Unless you Tiger Woods is different. He's an exception. But if you like the average PGA Tour golfer, nobody know who you are, bro. You can be in the mall. Don't nobody know you, bro.
Tennis?
But y'all wouldn't see me.
Maybe tennis. I don't know.
Tennis.
The golf is like the one I think about the most. But I can see tennis or like soccer.
It's just
at least in America. I don't know about Europe. But America.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a fire conversation. Again, we appreciate you, Imani, for chiming in. Thank y'all for watching, tuning in, likes. Subscribe, share, and we're gonna see y'all next time.
Yes, sir.
Gentleman's Guide, we out.
Peace.
Peace.